in the military, when we do something, when we're all done doing that chore, that assignment, that sortie, or whatever it is, then we're called upon to do what is called an AA, an after-action report. And in that after-action report, we look at what our task was, what our resources were, the good things that we were able to do, and maybe some ideas of how we might be able to do it better next time. All right? And that's what an after-action report is all about. And then there are people like me that I am very introspective. If I have an interaction with you during the day, before I close my eyes and sleep at night, I'm going to go over that interaction probably 2 or 3 dozen times and try to determine, was there something better I could have said? Was there something more I could have done so that I could have been a better representative of Christ, a better minister in your lives? That's just the way that we are. And as human beings, we are cursed with a little thing called memory. We have memories. And it's interesting, I find, that if I were to ask you, just start giving me memories, childhood memories, give me some memories, that you can give me some happy memories, but in my experience, I found that when people start giving memories, that the bad memories outweigh the good memories at least 2 to 1. We are more liable to remember a bad memory than a good memory. And I don't know why that is, but that just seems to be what has happened. And so if I were to ask you, has there been anything, any time in your life where somebody did you wrong, you're not going to have to ponder for too long until you can, oh yeah, I remember back in 1954, or whatever, because that's just the way that we are. The only person in the universe that is not plagued by memories is God. God has the strange ability that when he says he's going to forget something, he is able to forget it. And I thank God for that. I'm not the Dale Climie failure after failure after failure in my Christian life that comes begging up to God every day. That's not how he sees me. Because everything is new. Everything is fresh. The things that I've asked forgiveness for are done. He's forgiven them, and then he has forgotten them. Amen? But we are not that way. Amen? And so we find ourselves with memories that we wish we didn't have to deal with. We remember bad experiences. We remember interactions with people, relationships with people. And for many of us, that comes back to haunt us. And so I was going through the Word of God quite by accident. Well, it wasn't an accident. I was going through the Word of God. But Isaiah chapter 43 was quite by accident. And in Isaiah chapter 43, verses 18 and 19, God tells Isaiah, do not call to mind the former things or ponder things of the past. Behold, I will do something new. Now it will spring forth. You will not be aware of it, and I will make a roadway in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And so while Isaiah and the people of Israel were pondering their fate, they're looking at all the ways that they have failed God. And now they are being taken captive and sent off into dispersion among the nations. And every failure is just flooding back into their mind. and they are so conscious of the fact that, wow, I have messed up so bad. It's no wonder that God is punishing us as His people this way, because look at all the things that we have failed when it comes to serving God and obeying God. And I have to be honest, is that you may not know this, I'm a type A personality. I'm going. I am, even when I'm trying to go to sleep, I'm thinking of you guys, how I can be a better pastor, what I might be able to do to make your Christian life easier or whatever. My mind is always going. And when that happens, more often than not, I find myself looking at the failures in my life. You see, my main goal as an individual, believer in Jesus, not as a minister, just a fellow believer in Jesus, my main goal is I hope that any interaction that I've had with anybody has left them a better person. I hope that when I have a chance to pass somebody, to wish them have a great day, whatever that interaction is that after we've passed each other in the hallway, that their thought is, well, I'm glad I heard from Pastor Dale today. I'm glad that I said hi and he said hi or whatever, because they feel that their life is a little bit better. And I will have to say that over 50 years of ministry, that some people that I've encountered weren't better off for my interaction in their lives. That I have, on occasion, handled things, I just mishandled it. Let's put it that way. I could have done better. I could have said something else. I could have been a little bit more encouraging. And so I sit back at the end of the day and I begin to harbor these, I'm calling to mind these former things. Okay? And God is telling Isaiah, don't do that. It's counterproductive because I, God, am doing a new thing in your life. And anything that you've done over here isn't going to matter anymore, because each day is a new dynamic in Christ. Amen? You know, we throw the word paradigm around. I remember back in the 80s and 90s, paradigm was everybody's favorite word. Well, we're entering a new paradigm. We're under a new paradigm. This is a new paradigm for the United States. And all paradigm means is it's a different way of doing things. All right? And in Jesus, every day is new. We don't need to worry about trying to duplicate what worked for us last week, because He's not doing last week. God is doing a new week. You know, I've said before that when I was with the Assemblies of God, they have a program for their new ministers, people that are going to be, they're working for their credentials. And you start off as a Christian worker, then you get your license, then you get your ordination. Those are your three levels of credentialing with the Assemblies of God. And so, for somebody who is starting down that track with the Assemblies, you have to go to different churches and get experience preaching in these different churches. And so, senior pastors, we would go ahead and sign up and say, yes, send the young preachers out to our church for a Sunday night service or a Wednesday evening service, or you know, if they're a little bit more experienced, we'll let them have a shot at a Sunday morning service type of a thing. And and so we would get these ministers that are just getting their feet under them when it comes to preaching. All right? They're learning a little bit about the Word. They've taken the different classes in homiletics. That's how to preach a homily. And homily, by definition, is 10 minutes. And all of you know I can't preach for 10 minutes to save my life. So I don't even know why I studied homiletics. You know, there needs to be, you know, a half-hour sermonotics or something like that class that I can take. But anyhow, these people would come out. And one of the saddest things that I would see is when a young man, that he feels that he's been called into the ministry, that he's trying to duplicate one of these high-powered tele-evangelists. And we had a young man come out. He was the son of the district superintendent. I mean, you'd think that his daddy would have told him, don't do that. But there was a TV preacher who was with the assemblies, and he always had a handkerchief in his hand, and he was forever wiping his brow, and he's very dynamic and really getting. And this young man showed up on a Sunday evening to preach for us, and he had this guy's mannerisms down pat. I mean, he could talk and act just like this guy, and he was pretty full of himself. You know, he knew that he had the mannerisms of this famous preacher down right. And so afterwards, we get to do our little after-action report, and I sit down with him, and I basically told him, look, if God wanted two of these guys, he would have cloned him, all right? He has called you into ministry so that the Holy Spirit can minister through you, using you and what God has formed in your life, poured into your life, so that now you can minister to the people in a different way. We don't have to try to copy other ministers. And so, you know, we have these ideas that, you know, I've got to do this. I've got to be perfect. I've got to be the perfect husband. I've got to be the perfect wife. I've got to be the perfect father. I've got to be the perfect mother. I've got to do, and none of us are. None of us ever will be. And so we find ourselves in our 60s and 70s and 80s sitting back and looking at our lives, and all of these, what our heart is telling us, all of these failures in our life. I should have done this. I could have done that. And the Apostle Paul reminds us that no, we're not doing that. This is what he tells the Philippians in Philippians chapter 3, beginning at verse 13. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And so Paul is saying, yeah, I've blown it in the past. Did you know that there's a Mrs. Paul out there somewhere? Paul blew it as a husband and father. Did you know that? To be a member of the Sanhedrin, you have to be married with at least one child. And he was the golden child of the Sanhedrin. So there was a Mrs. Paul out there. Probably got a job doing freeze-dried fish sticks or something like that. You know, who knows what Mrs. Paul found to do in her life. But she and the kids left. Do you think that may have haunted Paul just a little bit? You know, here I am trying to build God's family, and I was a failure at my family. What else could Paul look at? Oh, he was the first persecutor of the church. He took the first Christian life when he killed or had Stephen the martyr killed. Do you think that didn't haunt him all of his life? And so Paul is able to say, this one thing I do, I forget what lies behind me. Whatever is in the past, I choose to forget it. Why? You can't change it. You cannot change the past. You can go back, if you're at fault with something, you can go back and you can ask forgiveness, you can make things right with that person, but you cannot change the past. And for you to sit here and say, I could have been a better mother, I should have been a better father, I wish I could have done this, I wish I could have done, it will not change a thing. You do not have any control over the past. When it was in your hands, you had the opportunity to do something, but now it's out of your hands. And so Paul and God through Isaiah are saying, do not worry about the past. It's too late to do anything. And so I just wanted to go through and give a couple of little points, and we're going to get into them more next Sunday. All right? Number one, six principles for dealing with bad or sad memories. Don't dwell on the past. All right? God, through Isaiah, urges the people not to cling to the past, but to watch for His new work. Don't dwell on the past. And what happens if you find yourself dwelling on the past? Stop doing that. That's easy enough. Don't do it. All right? And we'll get to that in just a second. Number two, reframe your perspective. All right, now we all know the story about Joseph, and he was the favored son, which really hacked off all the other sons. And so all the other sons just conspired and sold Joseph into slavery and told their dad that, you know, a bear or a lion or somebody come along and ate Joseph. And, you know, Joseph ends up in prison, he ends up in slavery, he ends up, I mean, all the bad things that can happen, that's what's happening to Joseph. And so finally he's confronted with his dirty, rotten, scoundrel brothers that did this to him. And believe me, I have to think, if I were Joseph, I would have been entertaining a few options that I could bring to bear in the lives of my dear brothers who sold me into slavery. But he didn't. Well, if he did, he put them out of his mind pretty quick, all right? And he said to his brothers, you meant evil against me. You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. And so Joseph was able to reframe his perspective. When we're going through dealing with these bad memories, one of the things that we can do is we can say, yes, this is a bad thing that happened, but we can reframe it. Look where it has brought me now. Look what God was able to do through this. Amen? We talk about that God, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God can turn all things to good for those who love Him, who are called according to His purpose. Bad things may happen, but if we put aside our anger, we put aside our desire to just choke the fire out of those people, if we put that aside and let God be God, whether He chooses to bless or He chooses to curse, that's up to God. God says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I shall repay. God may decide that that rascal needs to die. But that's God's choice, not mine. Okay? Or God may decide that this person needs to prosper, this person needs to, because he's got great things, that what this person did to me opened the door for God to get into his heart and do some things. Alright, so like Joseph, we can look at our childhood experiences, our growing up experiences, maybe we grew up in a bad area, town, or whatever, and we can say, man has meant it for evil, but God turned it to my good. Amen? Number three is refuse to entertain these bad memories. And this is, we talk about, you've heard me say this before a lot of times, Psalm 42:11, why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. Why so disquieted my soul? Why are you so upset? In other words, why am I thinking about this bad thing? Don't think about this bad thing. The psalmist here, King David, do you think he had regrets?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Murdering, whoring, you just name it. You know, if there's seven sins or whatever out there, you can multiply that times 100, and that's what David did. All right? Did he have regrets? Yes, he had regrets. World's worst father. World's worst husband. World's best friend. Talked to Bathsheba's husband. His good buddies with the king. Yeah, that didn't work out too well with him. And that when the king decided he wants your wife and you're standing between him and his goals, you're going to end up on the front lines without any backup and die that way. World's worst friend. And yet, David is saying, why am I allowing my emotions to get the best of me? Why am I... I'm thinking about these bad things. I'm thinking about my past failures. I need to stop doing this, and I need to put my hope in God. Amen. I need to put my hope in God. So refuse to entertain them. Let me see. Number four, refocus your thoughts. Replace negative thought patterns with ones that focus on God's promises, such as His ability to create beauty from ashes. All right? If you're just standing there, sitting there this morning, and you're saying, Pastor, I am just so defeated. My past has been so horrendous that all I am sitting here today is just a pile of ashes. Well, guess what? That's all that God needs. Because He is able to take ashes and turn them into beauty. Amen? And so we need to understand that, you know, let's look at the good things that God has done. And my wife can say, well, I remember this happened in my family, or I remember this happened in my child, or I remember that. Yes, but now, what do we have? What are we living now? What is God doing with us now? What has He accomplished through our lives right now? To refocus our thoughts. Why do we want to linger on things that make us sad? And I would challenge you to do something, although I really don't want you to do it. Go ahead and allow yourself to think about a sad, discouraging, disappointing time of your life. And as you contemplate that time and what happened then, you will notice you start to hurt right here. You will notice that your blood pressure is going to change. Your pulse is going to change. Just thinking about those bad things affects you physiologically. So, and they're not good. These are all things that will drive you to have a heart attack. All right? And so why would you do that to your body? But you see, that's, we can say, well, you know, I'm not really responsible because I'm a victim of what happened here or what happened there. Victims don't have responsibility. I'm a victim, therefore I'm not responsible for it. It's this person who victimized me, therefore I don't have responsibility. But that's not exactly true. God still holds us responsible for everything we say and we do. Amen? But if that back then drove me to these feelings of despair, why entertain them? Amen? Number five, apply faith and forgiveness. And all six of these are out on the bulletin board. Apply faith and forgiveness. Instead of thinking about these things, And I do this over the stupidest things, guys. You cut me off in traffic, I am going to blow 5 minutes thinking about your worst demise. I don't know what it is. Houston traffic has got to be controlled by the devil simply so that he can ruin my day. Why? Because I let him. All right? You cut me off in traffic. You stole that part. That's my part. I have rights to that part of it. And you swooped in there, you thief. You lowlife. And you think I'm kidding. Gary's over there preaching, brother. Boy, he does that, all right? And I'm getting, slowly I'm getting the victory over this because God doesn't call me to be a curse or to proclaim a curse. God calls me to walk in faith and forgiveness. And I'm slowly learning that when these things happen and my heart rate's going up and I'm breaking out in a sweat, I got the flight or fight, you know, reflex kicking in because this bug's cut me off and keep meant to take my life and you know, all this stuff. And then I say, but God has called me to be a blesser and not a curser. Amen? And so, to decide, I am going to bless this person in that situation. And then the last thing is bring those thoughts to Christ. Trust the Holy Spirit to help you process and heal from these memories. Some people are raised up with a whole lifetime of despair, of fear, are raised up with a whole lifetime of just being beat down. And how do you change that? You can't change that, but you can give it to God. Amen? Anything that we give to God, it's no longer ours. It's not our despair anymore. It's not our disappointment anymore. Now it belongs to God. And trust in the nature of the Holy Spirit to bring peace into our hearts where there was that anxiousness. Amen? And so I just want to stop with that today. Because I walk these hallways and I see three stories full of people in despair. Now, there are some happy people and all of that. But yeah, there's a happy person over there. Okay. But with all the beauty of the furnishings that we have here, you know, we should be able to be enjoying our lives. But your life is more than just its surroundings. Your life is what you bring with it. And when you bring with it these memories of an abused childhood, an abusive marriage, and that goes for men as well as women, I've counseled both ways on that. When you bring all of this abuse with you, it's kind of hard to break free and to enjoy the beauty around you when you've got this burden on you. When the people around you, if you go and talk to them, and I have talked to people in the hallway just in trying to encourage them, and I hear the same sad story every time I greet them. I am told of the same failures or whatever they've experienced in their lives. And there's nothing new. It's the same thing. And so we have to surrender that to God and let Him bring beauty for ashes. If all you have to bring Jesus is just ashes, which you have to admit isn't much, just know that He can take those ashes and turn them to joy. He can take those ashes and turn them into thanksgiving. He can take those ashes and turn them into victory. But only after you let them go. And that's the biggest problem that all of us have, is truly releasing something to God. Because we give Him an amount of time to deal with it, 5-6 minutes, and when it's not done, according to, oh, you do that, you know you do, I do. All right, I'm surrendering it all to God. It's been 7 minutes and He ain't done a thing. Here, I'll take it back. Okay? When we surrender it to Him, then He's going to take it and He's going to make beauty. He's going to make victory. He's going to make peace. He's going to make comfort out of that thing. And so, Father God, I thank You that You have not called